You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
26 minutes to 10. Can Hanafi human ustad wear gold-plated rings if the metal under the gold is stainless steel or other metals besides gold or silver, ustad?
This is a three-part question. Number one is this. Can women wear imitation jewelry? Not the ring. Exclude the ring. Imitation jewelry. So the answer is yes. Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, Ambali, everybody. Second one, regarding rings, Hanafi say that when women wear rings, then they should wear gold ring or silver ring, meaning that the major component there should be gold, genuine gold, or genuine silver. According to Hanafis, remember that if the lady wears just plated gold, plated silver, that is makruta, meaning not permissible, Hanafis. According to Shafis and all of them, is permissible. So remember that gold ring, whether it's plated, silver ring, all that for the women, all that permissible, according to Shafis, Hanbalis, and them. So Hanafis say not permissible, but Shafis and them say permissible. But regarding your other, you know, costume jewelry, your imitation, call it whatever you want to, that is now your locket and your earrings and your bangles and all that permissible, no problem.
Ustad, UK says that, is it okay for two baligh girls to sleep in the same bed? Is there any sin if they do, Ustad? But remember, they are sisters, Ustad, nothing wrong.
Remember Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that where you must allimu hunna in the sab'in, that at the age of 7 you must teach them about salat, and wadribu hunna alayha in the ashar, when they reach 10 you must then even discipline them, wa farriqu bayna madaji'ihim, and separate the beds. So you see today all the fitna, gay brigade and what is going on. So if there are two sisters, you the parents also should use your common sense, that you got two daughters, so you don't put them in a double bed. You have two single beds. One will sleep on the right, one sleep on the left. Or if the place is small, like in UK, and that you'll have small, small houses, so you put the bunkers, you know, upstairs, downstairs. So one will sleep on top, one at the bottom. So you can do that. Now if they are sleeping in a double bed, so remember that. So now whether it is your king size, queen size, or whatever, but it's a double bed. So in a case like that, then give that one daughter, Fatima, separate blanket, separate sheet, duvet, and give the other one also separate. Islam wants everybody from a young age must learn about leading a chaste life and a pure life. Today, you must remember, just see what is happening. You saw the other day, I sent out the Israeli interrogator. He raped one Palestinian boy. So this is what the shaitans are doing today. So you must remember, so you get two young girls, sisters, daughters, or you get two young boys. Now they saw things on the internet, on the phone, and yeah, now they start experimenting. So Islam wants to prevent all these type of things going on. So therefore, Islam says best is you make two separate beds.
Ustad, Clyde wants to know what's your take on jihad and suicide bombing. Ustad, Clyde.
So you must remember, Clyde, again, that's a classical example you must remember of the Western media. So you must remember, Clyde, I posed this question many a time to you and to others. So you must remember, look at Israel, the rogue apartheid regime. They're stealing the land of the Palestinians. They're occupying it for 72 years. Now they tell you, somebody comes to your house, Clyde, I don't know where you live, let's say Durban, Cape Town, and they bring an AK-47 and they bring hand grenades. They tell you move out, otherwise we're going to start shooting. You say, where must you go? They say, go in the outbuilding, go in the garage, we'll negotiate that. What will you do? So you will say, no, I'll fight. So that's the Palestinians. But you and your media are now twisting it. They say, no, committing suicide. No, it's not suicide. You must remember, you are the person. So in Islam, let me give you an example. Somebody comes 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock at night to your house, and he attacks, Allah forbid, God forbid, your house. So in Islam, if they shoot you, kill you, so that person, and the person is Muslim, he dies with Iman, Islam, man kutila duna mali fa wa shaheed, man kutila duna ahli fa wa shaheed, he passed away as a martyr. Then the companions, they ask the Prophet, peace be upon him, what happens if we kill him, the attacker? So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, huwa finnar, open Tirmidhi. hadith, you will find the hadith. That person goes to Jahannam, the hellfire. So my brother, when people are occupying our land, whether it be in Palestine, whether it be in Syria, whether it be in Iraq, whether it be in Afghanistan, remember it is a legitimate reason for you to defend yourself, and then you go full out. And you, the Western media and your people, they are not, we must remember that people who belong to the press, they are prostitutes, you must remember that. And that is, they will sell the story as long as they can make money out of it. So that is what they do. They say that these are suicide bombers. They're not suicide bombers. These are martyrdom operations to show you that we will fight till the death, till we liberate Palestine. So that is the Muslim Ummah, the true Muslims I'm speaking about.
So Valerie says that, so where it says in the Holy Bible of yours, does it say that non-believers must be killed? And in what context? Ustad, Sister Valerie.
Never does it say that we must go and kill innocent non-Muslims. Nowhere in the Quran does it say that, my sister Valerie. Yes, if it is war or you attack us and so forth, so we can't be sitting ducks. We have to defend ourselves and so forth. Or that person is a Muslim and then he becomes a non-Muslim and apostate. Then the saying of the Prophet, peace be upon him, man baddala deenahu faqtulu, then the capital punishment, the death penalty will apply. In Bukhari Sharif, Islam, my mother, my sister Valerie, is the most peaceful religion and the most just. But remember this, when people come, you attack us, you steal our resources, then definitely we will defend ourselves. And Islam allows offensive war and defensive war. It was in the fourth year of the Hijrah, as mentioned by Imam Bukhari in Sahih Bukhari, that remember hadith of Nabi alayhi salam, nahnu نَغْزُوهُمْ وَلَا يَغْزُونَنَا. From now onwards, the fourth year after the Hijrah, we will wage offensive wars and we will not wait for them to attack us. That is when we know the enemy are preparing something against us. So you can't prove to me in the Quran 6,236 verses where Islam says you must attack innocent civilians, non-Muslims. Islam does not allow that. That is totally unacceptable.
Ustaz, I'm reading my own Quran khatam, and my town is also reading a khatam a week. Can I put my khatam para in the town, khatam ustad?
Remember this, many a time I received that question. People are reading their own Quran Sharif. Then somebody passed away, or somebody is ill, or something happened. So now you are reading tonight, tomorrow, I'm giving example, the seventh juice, the seventh supara. So now you make multiple intentions for your Quran, for their Quran, all that permissible, no problem with that.
Somebody says here, let's go to the question, Ustad. It says, Ustad, if you give one talaq, is it finished? Is it over or not, Ustad?
If a person gave one talaq, one divorce, explicit words, so then the husband can take his wife back during the iddat period, which is 3 months, and without renewing the nikah. But he will have 2 talaqs left for the future. And if the husband gave talaq-e-buy-in means that an irrevocable divorce. He said it is talaq-e-buy-in. So in a case like that, if he wants to reconcile with his wife, then whether during the iddat or after the expiry of the iddat, then a fresh and a new nikah must be performed. So the wife, is she prepared? Is her father and them, the family, prepared? So these are the conditions that we have to fulfill and look at. Then they can remarry, and then for future, again, they will only possess 2 talaqs and 2 divorces.
0847863132. Somebody wants to know, Ustad, what du'as must be read during the 5 days of Hajj? Shukran. Ustad.
MashaAllah, I'm coming to Durban end of March, inshaAllah al-Aziz. We thank our Haji Muhammad Ikhlas and the whole capital group, his parents, his family, wife, children, brothers. So inshaAllah, I do have a few copies of the Hajj and Umrah Q&A. InshaAllah, we'll bring it. And I have Ramadan copies also. So inshaAllah, when we come to Durban in our programs, inshaAllah, that Wednesday night, the 26th, I think, yes, 26th. Mm-hmm. So inshaAllah, just check it up. The last Wednesday Wednesday of March. So inshallah, we will be there in Vellum where Mona Abid is. And then the 27th, Thursday night, inshallah, in Pietermaritzburg, Masjid al-Taqwa. Then Friday, where Hafiz Uwais is, Hafiz Uwais Sufi, the Sufi Masjid, Denon Road, opposite our Markaz Sahaba studios. So Jummah will be there Friday night, inshallah, in Phoenix, and then Saturday night for Shepstone. And then Sunday night will be the big night, 15th night of Shaban, will be at Avondale, inshallah. So that will be the venues, inshallah, Aziz. So I will give out some books, not 100 books, few books, inshallah. So you just contact me and tell me you want the Ramadan one, you want the Hajj one, we'll give it to you free of charge, inshallah. You big dua.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Oh, what was the question? What they must read in the 5 days?
Ji, Ustaz, the 5 days.
Yeah, so you must remember, best thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, hadith in Tirmidhi. Look at the words, subhanallah. Ayyul hajj afdal ya Rasulallah. Which hajj is the best? Habibuna rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-ajju wa sajju. Al-ajju rafu sawd. Raise your voice. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. So you read labbaik. Wasajju iraqatu dam. You slaughter, sacrifice the animal, the hadi. What our people call dam shukr. Faman tamatta'a bil umrati lal hajj famastaysara min al hajj. So that is the best, inshallah.
Ustada, they say here that Mufti AK, there are certain people who are selling musallas from Masjid al-Nabawi, which are very expensive. When I asked why so very expensive, they say you will get the same reward as when you're reading there at the Haram. Is this true? Which I don't think so, Ustad.
It's all lies, you know. People will to. So what they did, that musalla never touched Masjid Nabawi, but they just make the design and so forth, and they'll tell you, you know what? This musalla, this carpet, it comes from Medina. They know the Muslims are very emotional, sentimental, and they will double, triple the price. Today, people, they make the kiswa. You know kiswa? What our Indian people call the ghilaf. So they take that black cloth of the Kaaba Sharif, the Kaaba Musharrafa, Baytullah. It never touched the Kaaba, nothing, but it's so similar, so people say, wah, wah, let me buy it, and so forth. So today, everything is for sale. You must remember that. That is capitalism. Put anything for sale. So you put a woman for sale also. You see, that's what they're doing in the Western culture. So Allah forbid. So these are all to pull the wool over our eyes, and we can't be so simple and naive. Remember that, to say that you're going to read on that musalla, you're going to get 50,000 sawab like you get in Masjid Nabawi. So all fabrications and lies, that is.
Sister Lillian says that, AK, what made Prophet Muhammad get so high status in the eyes of God when he's a normal human being like we non-Muslims? Please elaborate. I'm totally lost. Sister Lillian, Ustad.
My sister Lillian, let me illustrate this point via an example. You see the place where you are living in Durban, you're living in Umslanga, you're living there in the South Coast, North Coast. You go outside, you will find a stone. So the stone on the road, on the street. Then tomorrow you and your hubby, you go there to Stearns. You go to the diamond shop and you say that I like this diamond ring. So that's also a stone. And then you must remember you go to the Kimberley, you know, the holy city there, and they find the big diamond there. So remember, that's also a stone. So remember, if you're a Muslim, then you go to Makkah, the black stone is there. So the word stone is used, but everyone's value and everyone's status is very, very much different. So we as Muslims believe the most beloved, the most precious to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla in the entire universe is Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Now why? That's a valid question. You see, this Quran, which is our constitution, so remember, it comprises 6,236 verses, 114 chapters. So that is the theory. So now we need someone to demonstrate to humanity and posterity that how can this be implemented practically. So Almighty Allah in His infinite wisdom and grace says, he selected the master, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. We say all the prophets and messengers, from Prophet Adam, the first one, right to Prophet Jesus, the last prophet of the Israelite prophets, remember, was selected by Almighty Allah. And then the final and last messenger, the best of the best, the most beloved, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, selected by Almighty Allah to now practically demonstrate that how we can implement the Quran. More than 1400 years have passed, but we are practicing on the Quran. You see, we're speaking about Ramadan fasting, we're speaking about Hajj pilgrimage, we speak about 5 daily prayer, we speak about the marriage or marriage or divorce. So all this here, the Prophet Muhammad showed us practically, either through his speech Mubarak, his blessed speech, or either through his action Mubarak. So he was chosen to be the best of the best, and his Mubarak Name Nami Isme Grami, honorable name, is mentioned in both the Bible. So whether you call it the Torah, the Injil, Old Testament, New Testament, but what they did, that the priest and the church and the rabbis, they removed that and changed it. But still today you will find that it is mentioned, and that is why the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was, is, will always be the best. And an easy example for you, my sister, chapter 21, verse 107, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is the mercy to the entire universe and creation. See, sister, I show you something very simple. Today, you swear my father, you swear my mother, you swear somebody. We might even keep quiet, you know. But if a person insults the Prophet Muhammad in any part of the world, you will see the response and reaction. That is the miracle. You see, my father passed away. What we will say? My late father. We will say Prophet, we will say my mother, late mother. But we will never use the word late for the Prophet, peace be upon him. Because every day, every moment, every place, we must remember we defend his honor. And we love him more than we love our spouses, our parents, our children, and the entire human race. That is what you need to understand, my sister.
Allahu Akbar, Ustad. Allahu Akbar. Somebody says, if a Muslim person passes away on a Friday between Asr and Maghrib, Ustad, what benefits, rewards are there for the deceased?
Subhanallah, you the brother, sister who asked us the question, Dil se dua nikalta hai. I supposed to mention this, but we got 101 things. I give you one example. Subhanallah. That there is a muhaddith, a scholar of hadith, dedicated his life to Quran and Sunnah and Islam. Sheikh Siraj Amin, you must remember, there in Turkey, Istanbul, in his old age, this Friday that passed 3 days ago. So between Asr and Maghrib, he passed away. Subhanallah. Man tawaffahu Allahu yawm al-jumu'ah aw laylataha waqahu Allahu min fitnatil qabr. Whosoever Almighty Allah gives death on a Friday with Iman. So during the day of Friday or the night of Friday, what we call Thursday night, Almighty Allah Jalla wala will protect him from the torment of the grave. He was the last student of Sheikh Zahid al-Kawthari rahimahullah, who was the Sheikh al-Islam during the Dawla Islamiya and so forth. So anyway, you must remember Sheikh Zahid Kawthari is buried there in Egypt. And you see that this person, Sheikh Siraj, Allah gave him death the best time on a Friday between Asr and Maghrib. So imagine. Now janaza came. Subhanallah, President Erdogan. So remember carrying his janaza. And the world TV and all that. Our Ustad Sheikh Sabuni, I just received a message from his son Anas. So we know Sheikh Sabuni, we went to his house many times. So anyway, cut long story short. So you must remember, he says, my father was weeping and crying for Sheikh Siraj and said, Rahim Allahu Siraj. Ya Allah, have mercy on Sheikh Sheikh Siraj. He gave his life for Quran and Sunnah. Wa hafid Allahu Erdogan. Oh, President Erdogan, Allah protect you. You showed the world what presidents must do, that they must carry the janaza. What janaza, you non-Muslims will not maybe understand. The bier, you know, not B-E-E-R. That is haram, unlawful. That the bier, that is that the funeral, you know, like the coffin, you will say. So we don't have coffins, but anyway. So that the president of Turkey was carrying to show his respect. What the scholar did. So when you look at President Erdogan, I got nothing to do with Turkey or so. But what is the truth we have to speak? He took in 2-3 million refugees. And remember, Allah gave them so much today. Turkey will become, inshallah, we hope and pray, a superpower in time to come and restore the Khilafat again. So you must remember, so much gold they found where the Ottoman Empire rulers and leaders were buried. So this is all from Almighty Allah. Great, great scholars. Nobody wants them. Sheikh Owama, where is he? In Turkey. So Sheikh Sabuni, where he spends his time during holidays, he goes to Turkey. So you must remember that these are the giants, and Allah is showing us. So the sentence we repeat of our honorable Ustad and Sheikh, Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni, the greatest commentator of the noble Quran living anywhere in the world today. So you must remember, he said, Rahim Allahu Sheikh Siraj. Ya Allah, have mercy on Siraj, that is the great scholar of Hadith. And wa hafiz Allahu Erdogan. Ya Allah, you protect President Erdogan of Turkey. So we as Muslims, I give you another incident. 1999, Ramadan, last 10 days, we were in Mecca. You know Mecca, last 10 days, 2 million people come there. So on 27 night, it was Sheikh Abdullah Subayil, the Imam, and they announced, we reading Salatul Janaza, Alal Ghaib, on Samahatu Sheikh Abil Hassan Ali Nadwi, also our Ustad, he gave me permission of Hadith. Anyway, cut long story short, Sheikh Abul Hassan Nadwi, Maulana, passed away 4-5 days before that. But they waited for 27 night, and I started crying. That Arab person next to me asked, Man Hua, who's this? I said, Alimun Fadilun Filin, a giant of a scholar there in India. So imagine he passes away fasting. Friday, he was reading Surah Yasin. Oh, Ummah, do you know which verse he read? فَبَشِّرْهُ بِمَغْفِرَةٍ وَأَجْرٍ كَرِيمٍ And then, وَانْتَقَلَ إِلَىٰ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ That's the last verse, and he passes away. So on a Friday, fasting, reading Surah Yasin, give him glad tidings of forgiveness and a magnificent reward. So that is the dua we must make. اللهم اجعل خير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه Ya Allah, make that the best day in our life, the day we come to meet you, O Almighty Allah.
Ameen, 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 thumma ameen. I see Sister Munira says here from Durban, Ustad. She says, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and Abba Fatima a long life. But Mufti Sahab, just a question on behalf of my father. If Mufti Sahab tomorrow, if Allah ta'ala takes Abba Fatima, would Mufti Sahab ever consider to get married again? Because my daddy is Mufti Sahab's age. My mommy, she passed away 2 years ago, and he wants to get married again. We're all total against it. That means he didn't love our mother, Ustad.
No, you're totally wrong there. Remember that. So he got his needs and everything. You, the children, you must change your whole thinking. You must go to him and say, Ya Abati, oh beloved father, we're very happy. Get married now immediately before Ramadan, and we give blessing. That is the kuffar system, that to say that your mother passed away and now you must remember that your father must not get married and so forth. I'm asking you a question. Your father has pains right here on his back, yeah, there, and all that. You, the daughters, can go rub there, can do anything there. So you need to be practical also. You must remember that. So if he gets married, and Baji, I don't know you, I don't know your marhuma wife, Allah grant the Jannatul Firdaus, but your children who are discouraging you, totally wrong. You must practice on Sharia and get married. You're asking me and Fatima, my Fatima says, when I'm gone, you must get married to four. You must So, you understood? So that is, so I always joke, I say, if I take four, then I'll take one Shafi'i, one Maliki, one Hanafi, and one Hanbali. So the whole day we're talking about them, so we'll take four for that. So sister, you must have, what advice you're giving, totally wrong. Go apologize to your father and say that our emotions got the better of us. You looked after mommy, and for that we will love you even more. But now we look at your happiness and remember, Abi, Abati, please get married. That is our Islamic advice.
I like your answer, Ustad. Maliki Shafi, Maliki Hanbali. Listen to this one, Ustad. Sister Aziza Esad says that, dear Mufti Saab, my nikah was performed, but my father-in-law name was written by mistake instead of my husband's name. Is the nikah valid or not, Ustad?
In the register, maybe they made a mistake, but when the Maulana performed the nikah, he took your name, Fatima, Aziza, whatever, and he took your husband's name, Ahmed, Jamil, Musa, or whatever, Isa, or whatever. So the nikah is performed. Maybe in that, you know, the father-in-law, son-in-law, your husband was so mixed up, you understand, in our Mehman, instead of writing Jusa, the Musa Lakidanya, you understood? So instead of writing Jusa, they wrote Musa. And instead of writing Musa, they wrote Jusa or whatever. So all this type of thing. That is just that mistake that they got nothing to do. When they performed the nikah, they took the right name. So your nikah is valid, no problem, inshallah.
Mm. Subhanallah.
One day I had to perform a nikah, and it was two sisters. So I told the two girls, sisters, brother, I said, Ba, give me the name separately. That one name is Fatima, other one name Aisha. So tell me who's Fatima's husband, write on the paper. And Aisha, just now I mixed the two up, there will be big trouble here. So the Maulana, or the Imam, whoever is performing nikah, we also must use our common sense, you know. So we don't make mix up like that.
Hmm. Somebody says here, Ustad, that my son has a Christian girlfriend for 14 years. We spoke to him so many times and he don't want to leave her, Ustad. What can I read for him to break up, Ustad?
You must first thing kick him out of the house. First thing, kick him out of the house. Second thing, you have nothing to do with him. Al-hubbu lillah wal-bughzu lillah. We love for Allah's sake and we hate for Allah's sake. 14 years, what he's doing? He's living every day in sin with her. Every moment, every time, Allah's curse is on him. And you all see, we're trying to, what trying? Kick him out, take his things and throw it out. Get out from here. So we don't want you. You bring Allah's curse here. Every day you come here, napak. And so forth and so on. So that is what Islam teaches. Brothers, that we don't curry favor with any person, any organization, any politician, any government. It can be our own son. When he breaks the law, what Allah Ta'ala told Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, innahu laysa min ahlik, he's not your family. You understood? Because he has died, he's going to die on kufr. He don't want to accept. He's challenging Allah. He said, he told his father, Sa'awi ila jabali ya'simuni min al-ma. I will climb, you must remember Mount Everest. I will climb Kilimanjaro. I'm just giving names at random. I will climb Table Mountain, I'll be safe. One shot the wave came, wa hala baynahum al-mawju fakana min al-mughraqeen, and then he drowned, finished, dispatched to Jahannam. So when people become enemies of Islam and the teaching of Islam, then we must sever ties with them and tell them, we don't want you. You get out from here. That is what you must do.
I see, Ustad, the second final question quickly, Ustad. It says, this is Mrs. Adrian's daughter. Please tell Mufti AK I'm very, very happily married. You won't believe it. My husband says he likes Islam. Ustad, Mrs. Adrian's daughter.
We're happy for you, my sister. So you and your husband, you keep on listening to our messages, and we are not going to force you to embrace Islam. That must come from within you. You are listening to us. Your mother is listening to us. Now your hubby is listening to us. One advice I will give both of you, stay away from wine and swine and all these things, and always remain sober, always remain loyal to one another, and you speak in English to Almighty Allah and say, oh beloved Creator, guide us to the truth, guide us to the truth. And inshallah, if you are sincere, your quest is for the truth, then Allah will bless you with Islam. We don't know your name, that's fine. Mrs. Adrian's daughter and Mrs. Adrian's son-in-law, every morning and every day we pray, Ya Allah, let Islam go to the hearts of the entire human race, and especially those people who are sincere, they are searching for the truth. So we make dua that Almighty Allah, dua means we supplicate to Allah, Ya Allah, make us the means that these people can enter the fold of Islam and also experience the halawatul iman, the sweetness of the taste of Islam.
Ameen.
So that is what you will experience. So inshallah, that we wish you well. Ameen. And every day you pray to Almighty Allah, and inshallah Allah will guide you to the truth as well.
Sister Lillian wants to know, Ustad, how old is dear Mufti AKN Mr. Arafat? Sister Lillian, Ustad.
Man, Arafat, how old you are? 40.
39, Ustad. 40.
Yeah, 40.
In the first of
good
March,
guess, I took. Yeah. So finish 40, what stories you making, Molana? So Molana is 40. So eight, another 25 day, you'll understand. So that's mine there. I'm old and cold, tired and retired now. So you must, I gave you my Islamic age anyway.
Ustad, final question. Request for duas for my 24-year-old brother who passed away in an accident. Ustad.
If you're speaking of Mona Ziyad Biku, I met your father yesterday after Maghrib, and I gave him a lot of duas, and remember that I spoke to Abdurrahman, that your Maulana's wife's brother, his brother-in-law, and I had a long chat with him. We spoke yesterday, also last night, and the three children. I was just telling my wife, you know, imagine that now the mother comes home and from hospital and sees the three masoom children, the yatim children. Father is gone. He was 40 years old. So this is the system of Allah. I'll end with this. You know, you hear of non-Muslims. A tragedy takes place. They cannot handle it. And then they just pull the gun, the trigger, and commit suicide. No. We are Muslims. We have Iman. If you study Iman, the philology of it, the history of it, it comes from the word Aman. Aman means, you must remember, peace, tranquility, serenity. And it's an article of faith for us. وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ Good, bad, happy, sad, everything comes from Allah. So the 10-year-old youngster, when you asked him, Abu passed away, he said, this is taqdeer. What a brilliant answer he gave. The small boy, he's 10 years old, he's teaching Ummah that I accept my father is gone to the mercy of Allah. Imagine. So that is Islam. We have to train our children. Today's life, so many things can happen in a split second. So we are speaking and suddenly something happened. Allah protect us all. So always beg Allah for death on Iman. I conclude with this incident. It will inshallah inspire you. When I went to Iraq in 2000, I spent a week there, 6 days to be exact. So almost a week. So we went to Imam Abu Hanifa's Mazar Mubarak, Sahaba's grave, Hazrat Salman Farsi, Hazrat Uzaifa bin Yaman, and all that. Hazrat Piran Peer, Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Rahimullah. Then I went to Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, Rahimullah's Mazar Mubarak, on day Hazrat Sayyidul Taifa, the leader of the Sufis and the Awliyaullah, the special servants of Allah. So I should tell people, you see, go study the profile of Junaid Baghdadi. So what he said. He said, somebody asked him, hey, Junaid, Rahimahullah, we say, that you better or that puppy running around, that dog running around is better? See, waliullah, what answer he gave. He said, if I die with Iman and Islam and faith, then I'm better than that puppy and dog. But if I die without Iman and Islam, then even the dog is better than me. You see? So that is the lesson we have to learn. This Iman is our greatest gift which Allah has blessed us. So preserve it, let us die with it, inshallah, and make dua for everybody else. So Allah Ta'ala forgive Maulana, grant him Jannatul Firdaus. Allah Ta'ala bless the madrasa, Mufti Bouda's madrasa, that he sadaqa jariya, inshallah, his children will become hafiz, alim, and inshallah. So, and the mother, that the three children's mother, Allah Ta'ala give her complete shifa. We make dua for her also, and for all the marhumin, Allah Jalla Wala grant them all Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. Okay, time is finished now. We have to go to the next program. We have Mohana Salim Dorat of UK Leicester, and inshallah the Urdu lecture that he will render. And tomorrow 4 o'clock sharp, Mohana Arafat, Brother Junaid Khan, Brother Riyaz Hussain, all will be firing on all systems. And 4:55, 5 to 5 tomorrow morning. I'll see you inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To that was our beloved Honorable Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain, Hafidhahullah.